Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
I'm Keith, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Man, I should be on the praise team.
Yeah, we want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue.
We're glad you could be with us this morning. The ushers are coming up to take our morning's tithes and offerings, and while they do that, we want to let you know how you can get connected at Evanston.
So check it out.
You think I should join the praise team?
You know, you just show them up. Maybe you could just sing for me and Olivia.
Sweet. It's beginning to look
like
Christmas. Christmas is a busy time, so we want to make sure you know what's going on.
There's a ton of information in our bulletin to keep you up to speed with our weekly events and the special events for Christmas.
You'll also find our connection card. If you fill that out, we'll make sure that you stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use a card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So if you would please fill that out and leave it on the pew when you leave, one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you.
If you are more of a techie, you can find an extended calendar and connection form on our website.
We have a special section just for Christmas, so you know exactly what's going on and where it's happening.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for, and you can also listen to the Sunday school lessons and sermons with the slides and everything.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we have one important announcement.
Join us this evening at Lakeside Baptist Church for the annual service of carols and lessons.
You won't want to miss this great musical event with Bible readings and some great musical groups,
including our own Evanston Avenue worship team.
So we'll see you there at 6 tonight.
Come early because the seats fill up fast.
Well, now that we've got you up to speed, it's time to take out your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews.
So here's Pastor Matt with his sermon, Mary's Song. Mama made me mash my M&Ms.
Yeah, keep practicing. You're doing great.
Awesome. Mama made me mash my M&Ms.
Here's Pastor Matt.
All right, thank you guys. Okay, our ushers are going to wait upon us for our tithes and gifts and offerings. So before we get into the message, though, have a couple of things that we need to go over real quick as we're coming into Christmas. Yay, Christmas! Bah humbug! Okay, just throwing that out there if anyone else, you know, feels the need. So, but yeah, Merry Christmas. It's an exciting time. Jesus is born. We need to celebrate that always. We don't have Christmas so we can get great deals at the store, amen? We have Christmas so we can remember that Jesus Christ was born into this world. So what I would love for you to do, if you could grab your bulletin, if you got one, your note sheet is in there if you want to take notes during the sermon. But on the back, we do have the up-to-date list of everything that's currently scheduled for our Christmas season. So like you heard, tonight at Lakeside Baptist, we're having the service of lessons and carols. If you've never experienced this, I was there last year for the first time. It's really kind of a cool thing. It's actually styled after the old English high church pattern, and so it's a really neat thing. I'll be there. I'll be wearing a suit. I do own one. I just don't wear it very often. So if that's enticing, you know, by all means, come on, check it out. But it's really going to be a great time of just celebrating some great old hymns of the faith, Christmas carols, hearing the Christmas story, starting in the Old Testament into the New. So it'll just be a very, very nice time. We'll be doing that together with all of the Converge Baptist churches here in Muskegon. So it starts at 6. Last year, we were shoehorning people in. So if you need to get there a little bit early, that would not be a bad thing. So Lakeside Baptist, love to see you there. Next week, a couple of things coming up. On December the 11th at night at 5 p.m., we're having our own Christmas carol sing. And so you're welcome to join us for that. It's going to be very casual. So tonight's kind of really formal. Next week is going to be kind of casual. The idea is gathering around mom's piano and just singing some of our old favorite Christmas carols. So we're just doing that. Just a great time to gather, hang out. Bible Times Club and Hype will all happen after that. But just a great time. Come hang out with us. We'll be in here, but we're going to try to make it seem like we're just kind of gathering the living room with family to sing our old favorite Christmas carols. So you're welcome to join us for that. December 17th, we have scheduled, it's a Saturday, and we have our children's Christmas program is scheduled for that day, again at 5 o'clock. But here's the thing. We are still in need of a number of volunteers in order to make that happen. So if you are willing to help, we need a bunch of different volunteers and a variety of different things. So would you please, we're going to need to do that soon, because if we don't have enough volunteers, we're going to have to cancel the Christmas program. So if you're willing to volunteer, it's a one-day commitment. That's why we're doing it differently this year. So it's just, we're going to rehearse and practice. It's going to be kids and parents, you know, preparing for this all in one afternoon. But we need some volunteers in order for that to happen. So please talk to Debbie Schmidt today so we make sure we have enough people to make that happen. And then, of course, Christmas Eve. Yay. Christmas Eve is a Saturday, so of course we will have our candlelight service. I was informed, if you're on our email list, that the time was a little bit different in the email. The email said 6. Go with your bulletin on that. That is the correct time, 5 p.m. For Christmas candlelight service here at Evanston Avenue Baptist, 5 o'clock. Bring friends, bring family, bring neighbors, bring people you meet on the street. You know, hey, it's Christmas, why not? And then we will have, of course, service on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. It's Sunday. This is what we do. We gather here on Sunday. That's why we're here. Amen. We all gave up good sleep to be here. But we will not have on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, we will not have any Sunday school or any children's programming. It's just going to be come for worship and head out. So plan accordingly. We'll try to make it very family-friendly services, but we'll all be together on Christmas Day and on New Year's Day. We want to make sure to give our volunteers a break, a well-earned break, so that they can enjoy Christmas with their families and worship together. Amen? Everybody cool with that? Good, because we would do it anyway, even if you weren't cool with it. But so I'm glad you're good. I'm glad you're on board with us. That's great. But that's everything that's coming up at Christmas. The ushers are going to come forward. I'm going to pray for our offering. And then we're going to dive right in to what God's Word has for us today. So would you join me in prayer? Father, we love you. You have blessed us so richly. Father, you've given us the gift of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest gift we could ever receive. You've given us the gift of eternal life through him. And so, Father, as you've given us every other good gift, we just return to you a very small portion of everything that you've given to us. So, Father, in the spirit with which it is given, we ask that you receive these gifts and may you use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. And, Father, now as we turn our attention to your word, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would move mightily in our hearts. Father, would your word be illuminated into our lives that we may be a great reflection of your truth. Father, as the pastor, I simply ask, may my words fall to the ground, and may your words endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, my friends, if you want to grab your Bible, you can grab one in the pew. If you don't have a Bible at home, take the one in the pew. Merry Christmas from us to you. If you do have a Bible or an app, you can open that. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke for the next couple of weeks. If you're just joining us, we've been doing a sermon series called The Walk, where we're looking at how Jesus lived on this world, how he lived out his own teachings, how he interacted with each other, with his people around him. We're kind of still doing that, but we're gonna frame it a little differently for Christmas. We're going to be looking now in the Gospel of Luke for a number of weeks. Specifically, today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And it's Christmas, so we're going to be walking through the Christmas story, but we want to take a look at it from a slightly different angle this year, because in Luke's gospel, there's actually a number of songs or poems. And so while we'll be spending a lot of time tonight and next week, you know, singing the great Christmas carols, celebrating the birth of Jesus, there are actual poems and songs that are recorded in Scripture that we want to take a look at and just see, hey, what does God have to show for us in this particular passage? So let me set up Luke here just for a moment, then we'll dive right in. Now, in Luke's gospel, Luke is a little bit different from Matthew and Mark. Okay, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that all tell the story of Jesus on earth. In the book of Matthew, the Holy Spirit is showing us how Jesus Christ is the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. In the book of Mark, we see how Jesus Christ is a servant who was ministering to and suffering for his people. He was a servant to us. And then in the Gospel of Luke, Luke was a doctor. That was his profession. He was a medical doctor, and he traveled with a guy named Paul. Paul was one of the apostles. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit so he could write scripture. And Luke was recording the story of Jesus according to Paul. And so as you read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll notice a number of things. Number one, Luke is very systematic. For those of you that love systematic histories and stories like that, Luke is great because he's the only one of the Gospels that begins in Luke chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 by saying that he set out to write an accurate historical account of Jesus. The others are still accurate. They just they emphasize different pieces along the way to prove whatever point the Holy Spirit was stirring them up to tell. But Luke was very different, and he focuses on the humanity of Jesus. And then, of course, the Gospel of John that we'll get to this spring is going to be looking at who is Jesus, God himself, with us. But for now, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be jumping into the story, and Mary has just been told by an angel that she's going to be pregnant, she's going to have a baby, and that baby is going to be the Messiah. So that's kind of where we're jumping into the story. We're going to be at verse 39 is where we're going to dive in. But before we get there, I need to make a bit of a confession just so you understand where we're coming from. Prior to living here, for those of you that don't know, my family and I, we lived in Chicago. And that's and even before we lived in Chicago has been stamped into my DNA for a variety of reasons. My family grew up there. That's where we came from. Sad to say, we did cheer for the Bears long before we lived there. Though in fairness, when I started cheering for the Bears, they were good. Now the Lions are in first place. The Cubs won the series. The Lions are in first place. Jesus might be coming back sooner than we think. It is a distinct possibility. That's all I'm saying. And if the Lions make it to the Super Bowl, start saving people now. But having grown up in Chicago, you don't really realize this unless you live there that there's there's a bit of a mythology in Chicago that just kind of sticks with us for a while. The Blues Brothers. Especially for us, we lived near Joliet, and so on a regular basis, they would actually show the Blues Brothers movie at the Joliet State Prison. You know, it's the scene, if you're familiar with the movie, that's the scene where Jake is leaving. That's actually called the Joliet Jake Gate, and they'll actually show the movie there. It's great, and people in my previous church, they were actually there when they were filming some of the scenes. Like again, if you're not familiar with the movie, it's okay, but there's a whole scene where they're having a car chase through a mall. Friends of mine lived near the mall. They were there watching them film that. So it was kind of a cool thing. It's part of the lore of Chicago. And of course, the blues and the music of Chicago is seeped through that movie. But the movie hinges around this idea that Jake and Elwood, they're on a mission from God. That is why all of the music and all the hijinks of that movie takes place, because they believe that they are on a mission from God. And so as a guy who loves music, as a guy who loves the blues, I thought it would be an appropriate way to start out this particular song of Mary by just remembering the mission of God that she was called to. Because Mary has a mission. And that's ultimately what her song is going to be about today. So why don't you join me? We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And it reads this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, like I said, we're kind of jumping into this story, so just to set the context, Mary had just been visited at night by the angel Gabriel and said, hey, guess what? You're not married, but you're going to have a kid. And that child is going to be the Savior of the world. Wow, so that's what happened just before this. So at that time, Mary takes off because the angel also told her that her aged cousin, Elizabeth, was also going to be having a child. And Mary, who was young and unmarried, Elizabeth was just the opposite. She was well past her childbearing years, and she and her husband, Zechariah, they were told, hey, guess what? You're going to have a child too in your old age. That's a miracle, my friends. And in fact, Elizabeth got two miracles out of the deal. She got a child, and because her husband, Zechariah the priest, didn't believe what the angel said, he was rendered mute for 9 months. So two miracles for Elizabeth. You know, having a child and a mute husband. Ladies, can I get an amen? Okay, some of you are a little too eager on that one. So Mary begins this journey of walking from where she was in Nazareth to where Elizabeth and Zechariah were living. So that's kind of her mission, so, or at least what she's doing right now. So at that time, that's where she's going. Verse 40, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, that's John the Baptist, by the way, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, how cool is that? The first person on earth to recognize Jesus was an unborn baby. Mothers, you can appreciate that because the baby started partying. Obviously, I've never been pregnant, but from being around my wife when she was, there's not a lot of room to celebrate in there. But here's this unborn child being told by the Holy Spirit, this is it. This is the Messiah. And so Elizabeth, verse 42, in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaims, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Because at the end of all of the discussion that Mary had with the angel, Mary's response was, okay, I will have my life turned upside down. Absolutely. And make no mistake about it, my friends, you know, for us in this day and age, if someone is pregnant outside of marriage, it's still something we kind of go, whoa, what? And I remember when I grew up, you know, 20-some years ago in my church, there was one gal who got pregnant out of wedlock. She had to leave our church because of it. Now, rewind the clock 2,000 years. If someone was found to be with child outside of marriage, it was concluded, and usually correctly, that they had had an affair. The punishment for that, even if they were engaged, because in that culture, Mary and Joseph were engaged, and that was a legally binding covenant. Joseph would have two options. Well, three, I guess. He could marry the girl anyway. He could divorce her, literally divorce her. And in our context, divorce means you start over again. In that context, your life was over. You had to move back into your dad's house if you were a divorced woman and live there until you died. You could not legally get remarried again. You could not have a career. So you were stuck in your dad's house living destitute until the day you died. That's what would happen if you were divorced. Or the husband-to-be could insist that his adulterous wife would be stoned to death. So it was divorce and desolation or death. Those were the choices that Joseph would be faced with if he was assuming that his wife had stepped out on him. And Mary's response, okay, may it be to me as the Lord wishes. And so for lots of reasons, part of what we see, the first action that Mary takes when she is pursuing this mission from God is that she steps out and pursues fellowship. The first thing that Mary had to do is she was seeking to fulfill the mission of God in her life, which she needed to fellowship with someone else. And in that day, there was only one other person who was experiencing a miraculous birth from God for the fulfillment of God's mission. There's only one other person that fit that category. That was her cousin, Elizabeth. So Mary walked to get there. We may not comprehend that, but she had to leave Nazareth. This is a picture of what the hill country in the Judean countryside, that's what it kind of looks like. you can see way down on the bottom, that little bloop on the bottom is somebody on a horse. And so this is a barren and foreboding wilderness. And Mary, every scholar concludes that Mary was probably a young teenage girl, possibly as young as 12, most likely no older than 16. That's when people got married back then. So she was a young junior high school age girl who walked alone, depending on which part of the hill country, 50 to 70 miles on foot. Parents, you want to sign your kids up for that one? We wouldn't send them alone for 50 miles in a car. And here's Mary. She was so driven to fellowship with someone else who could be with her and experience the mission together that she walked 50 miles. And ultimately, at the end of this passage, we'll realize that she actually stayed there for 3 months, just kind of hanging out and doing whatever girls do pre-pregnancy. I'm assuming there was nesting and pink was going, or, you know, what, I don't know. But it was so important to her that she had fellowship. That was the very first thing she did. As soon as she gets this life-shaking news that your world will be turned upside down forever. And by the way, we cannot minimize this. For Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they lived with the stigma of Jesus being born out of wedlock for the entirety of Jesus' life. If you actually look at John chapter 8, there's a whole altercation between Jesus as an adult and the religious leaders. And one of the things that the religious leaders threw at him was, "We are not illegitimate children." They were still, 30 years later, rubbing his origin in his face. So this is something that turned her world upside down. And the first thing that she did was to pursue fellowship. And from that, we need to draw this conclusion. Fellowship always has a cost. When we live in fellowship, when we live in community with one another, there is a cost. It's not a huge cost for most of us. It's time. You know, I mean, if I want to have fellowship with you, if you want to come to my life group, if you want to be together with my family, you know, usually what you have to do is you have to leave your house, walk to your car, open the door, sit down, do this, and then just drive. That's our cost for fellowship. Mary's cost for fellowship was a humongous journey, because it was so important for her to be around someone else that could share in the mission that she was called to. Brothers and sisters, all of us have a mission from God that we are called to participate in. You know, thankfully the whole giving birth to the Savior, that one's done. That mission's over. Mission accomplished. Praise God. But nonetheless, if you're here, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have a mission that you are called to. And the first step for us should similarly be to gather around other people, other brothers and sisters in Christ, that can share in the mission with us, that can be a community for us. And that does have a cost. And so what is your, for lack of a better word, what is your cost breakpoint? What are you willing to sacrifice to have community, to have fellowship with the people who share your mission? I mean, right now we are all gathered together, fellowshipping with each other, because we recognize that as believers in Jesus, in this church, we have a mission. And when we gather, and when we eat cookies, and when we hang out with each other, it's not just because we like cookies, although they are really good, amen? They're yummy. But we don't do this just because we enjoy each other's company. We don't have fellowship together. And fellowship is so much more than just our cookies and our hangout time after service. Fellowship is when we share life with each other. When we start saying, "Here is the burden that I am carrying." And for Mary and for Elizabeth, they were both carrying the burden of a divine pregnancy for the purpose of accomplishing God's mission. That's a huge burden. And there was no way for Mary that she could have done that alone. And even though she had Joseph, he had to think about it. In Matthew chapter 2, we realize that. Matthew chapter 1. You know, Joseph was getting ready to do the better thing and divorce his fiancée quietly. And an angel said, don't do it. But while God and Joseph were having those conversations, Mary had to be around somebody that she could share the burden with. And so she went to the only other person that could. So when we share fellowship with each other, when we share the burden with each other, it's not just because we like each other. It's not just because we enjoy hanging out. We do. But the ultimate reason for our fellowship, the ultimate reason for caring for each other, the reason for lifting each other up when we stumble, is so that all of us can join God in the missions that He has called us to complete. That's why we fellowship together. It's to fan the flames of God's mission in our life. If you ever want a great illustration for this, I thought about doing it, but it's kind of dangerous indoors. Have you ever been to a bonfire? Not a good one to do inside, you know? But if you take one stick, a flaming stick, out of that bonfire, it will burn for a time. But it will eventually go out. The reason that God's word tells us, let us not forsake meeting together so that we can always be put back into the burning fire of God's mission that says, I need to carry the message. I need to fulfill the mission. And when I gather with you and you gather with me, we encourage one another. We lift each other up. We heal each other's wounds. We care for one another so that when we walk out the door, we're ready to accomplish the mission that God has called for us. What is your cost break point for fellowship? What are you willing to sacrifice to be around the people that you're with? But the story keeps on going. Because there's also a blessing in this. Elizabeth talks about how blessed Mary is. And then all of a sudden, in verse 46, Mary starts singing, starts speaking a song. It says this. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. And as Mary was contending with this, my friends, as Mary was receiving this blessing, this gift of a pregnancy to give birth to the Messiah, part of what she is recognizing is that she has done nothing to deserve this favor. So it says in verse 48 that the Lord has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. And so for us as Protestants, we sometimes struggle with what do we do with Mary. You know, our friends who attend Catholic churches, they have a very high place for Mary. But what does Scripture actually say? Part of what Scripture actually says is that she was just a normal, everyday girl. She wasn't any holier than her other family members. She wasn't any holier than you or me. And all that happened to her was simply because God said, I choose you. And she said yes. She was not worthy to bear the Messiah any more than you or I would be. That's why even being able to have Jesus was an act of grace that God bestowed upon her. It was an act of grace. And she recognized that. She recognized that her blessing was something that she didn't deserve. But here's an interesting thing. Here's what we need to capture in this moment, because a lot of times we talk about we want to receive God's blessings. I do, you do, we all do. But I want to point out something from Mary's story that's really important as we talk about blessing. Yes, Mary was blessed. She got to give birth to the Messiah. And yes, even now, every Christmas we remember her. But that blessing follows her obedience. And a lot of times for us as Christians, we're asking questions, why won't God bless me with this? Why won't God bless me with what I need? Why won't God give me this? Well, first of all, just so we know, God's not a genie lamp or a Pez dispenser. You know, God's not waiting to a click, 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 there you go. But one of the things that we need to look at is, in Scripture, blessing so often follows our obedience. As God is calling us to do things, He gives us what we stand in need of, but He also asks us to obey. And so a question for us is this: what is God asking you to be obedient about? What is God asking you to obey? For some Christians, we harbor sinful behaviors in our life that we want to hang on to. As long as we do that, my friends, God will not give us the full blessing that He wants to, because He calls us to repent. We need to be obedient. Is there an area of your life where you're holding on to a sin that you don't want to let go of? God still loves you. You're not going to lose your salvation. But God wants to bless you richly, and He won't do that as long as you are not being obedient. As we are obedient to the Lord, He blesses us with whatever He wants us to receive. And whatever we receive from Him is, again, for the purpose of mission. Whatever God has blessed you with, in the areas of your life where you are obedient, God has blessed you richly. God didn't just give you those blessings to enjoy. Enjoy them, yes. But that's not the only reason why God gives us the blessings. God blesses us with all the things that He gives us so that we are equipped to do the mission that He has called us to do. When Mary was obedient, she received a huge blessing from God. Oh, and by the way, yes, that blessing completely turned her life upside down. We always assume that the blessings from God are going to be peaches and rose petals, right? If God blesses you, my friends, when you're obedient and He blesses you, the funny thing is we don't get to request what the blessings are. I'd like to be blessed with a new car, with a hot tub, da-da-da-da. That's Santa. We don't believe in Santa, so I'm sorry. God says, I will bless you with whatever you need, even if that blessing turns the world upside down for you. Our task is to be obedient. So, my friends, what area of your life is God asking you to obey? Sometimes it's to move closer to a person, to establish a relationship with them. For some of us, we need to back off of a relationship and create space so God can work. You know, whatever it is, what is God asking you to be obedient about? Then, of course, there's this awesome thing where in the middle of all this, after just walking 50, 70 miles, after having her life turned upside down, having a stigma that would be attached to her and to her son for the rest of their lives, Mary's response is to worship. I love that. My soul glorifies the Lord. When your life gets turned upside down, is that your response? My soul is going to glorify God right now. The rug just got swept out from under me. Everything is topsy-turvy. Let's glorify God for a bit. Some of your translations would say, my soul magnifies the Lord. I love that expression, magnifying the Lord. I don't know how to do that. God is infinite. How do I make Him bigger? I don't know. But I know that when I take the time to worship God for something that He is, then that element of who God is, I'm making it bigger for the world to see. When I worship God for being a God who loves me no matter what occurs, I'm making that part of who God is known to the world. And I'm learning it in a new way. We're glorifying God. We're magnifying Him. Listen to the rest of her words here. Verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm, and He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. And I love this, that Mary's worship is rooted in God's character. Mary's worship is rooted in God's history. Because as God has been faithful from one generation to the next, the generations, by our worship, we make God known to the next generation. I love when we sing great hymns of the faith. I love when we sing old Christmas carols. I love when we sing new songs. But my friends, in our worship, we are not just worshiping so that we feel good about it. We are worshiping, we are praising God so that He is made known. In our worship, we put who God is and what God has done on display for the generations to see. And so our worship is not just about us. Our worship is mission fuel. Our worship is what puts God on display so that when we see God, when we see His character, when we see His history, it compels us to go out and say, I need to tell somebody about who Jesus is. Because look at what He's done. Look at who He is. Our worship is the fuel for our mission. Because here's a really cool thing. When I share Jesus Christ with somebody, and they receive Him as their Lord and Savior, guess what happens? God has another worshiper. And that worship fuels their mission to go out and make other people worshipers of God. I love that. Our worship when we're here is not just something that fills our tank. I mean, it does. I hope it does. I hope all of you leave out of here going, yes, God is awesome. Just like I hope you go out of here going, yes, cookies are awesome. That seems a lot less important, doesn't it? Wow. But either way, we don't just do it for our benefit. We do not fellowship. We do not worship just for our benefit. It is fuel for missions. And so the question is, does your worship compel you to your mission? Does your worship of God drive you to share Him with other people? Because our worship is our fuel. And then last but not least, what we see in Mary is this. Even in her worship, yes, she is amazingly aware of her mission. It says this in the very last verse that I read. Excuse me, verse 54, we'll back up. Talking about God, He has been a helpful servant. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. You see, my friends, Mary is capturing this idea that our God has always been a missionary God. Missions aren't something that started after Jesus. The mission of God has been the same ever since sin entered the world. And in Genesis chapters 12 and 15, we see that God grabs a hold of this rich sheik, this rich sultan named Abraham, and says that I am going to bless you, and you will be a blessing to all nations. God's desire from the time He called Abraham was that all nations, every person, would know the Lord. And so as Mary is singing this song, as Mary is declaring this word, she is identifying that her mission, that her child is part of the ultimate mission of God. See, Christmas by itself is nothing more than an excuse to buy presents. And we love Christmas, we love celebrating the peace and the hope and the joy of Jesus being born. But part of the mission for Jesus, was that even in that manger, there was a shadow of a cross. Because Jesus was born to die for my sin and for your sin. And to rise again, so that all of us who believe in Him, all of us who call upon His name, we have the right to be the sons and daughters of the King. We have the opportunity to experience everlasting life through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And while Mary, I don't know if Mary had the full comprehension of what that would mean, I doubt it at that point in her life, she knew that whatever was happening in her was part of God's sovereign mission that started at the beginning of time and will be concluded at the end of time when Jesus Christ returns. And she played a pivotal role in giving birth to Jesus Christ. My friends, our mission is God-sized. Because our mission is not to give birth to the Savior. That's been done. Praise God. Our mission is different. Our mission is to introduce the world to this Savior, to bring Jesus Christ to be His witnesses and His ambassadors and His representatives to every corner of the world. That's our mission. That is a God-sized mission because we can't do it on our own. And so just as God gave Mary everything that she needed to fulfill her mission, from Jesus' conception to His birth to His death, remember, Mary was there for that, to His resurrection, God gave her everything that she needed. In the same way, my friends, God will give you everything that you need. So my question for you, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, brothers and sisters, is what is your mission from God? All of them are to be His witnesses, but what is your specific mission from God? Do you know what it is? Do you know how God is calling you right now to be His witnesses on this earth? Because my friends, brothers and sisters, you will reach people for Christ that I never could, just because God put them in your life and not mine. What is your mission from God? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You that You have been faithful, providing all that we need. Lord, we're humbled by the blessing of Your mission, by the ability we have from You to share You with the world around us. So, Father, we just recognize that for what it is. It is Your gift to us. So, Father, may we fellowship with each other to spur one another on to complete the mission You've given to us. Father, may we recognize that every blessing we have from You is a resource that You've given us to help us fulfill our mission. And Lord, the worship that we offer to You, the music, the preaching of Your word, the things that fill our soul aren't just for our benefit, Father. They're to be the fuel to pursue You. So, Father, as You've given us God-sized missions, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, continue to reveal to us the missions that You have for each one of us. Lord, we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my friends, as I have alluded to, Jesus Christ was not just born so we have something to celebrate. Jesus was born so that He could suffer and die our death and rise again so that whoever believes in Him can also live His life. This morning we're going to celebrate communion as we do on the first Sunday of every month. You've heard us talking about peace. The peace we have is on the other side of the cross. The peace we have is knowing that whatever sins, whatever garbage, whatever junk we have in our lives, God knew about, God dealt with by putting that sin on Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I have fantastic news for you. Your sins are gone. They've been taken away. And you're welcome to join us at this table as we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So at this time, I'm going to invite our servers to come forward. I'm going to share some scripture with you this morning. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So my friends, the invitation is this. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to join us at communion. If you do not, we're so glad you're here. But we ask that you let it pass in front of you. But if you're here, if you want to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you how to do that real briefly. You see, Jesus Christ, as we celebrated Christmas, was really born. He was really brought into this world, and he lived and walked and had friends. But towards the end of his life, he did something extraordinary. And he took the punishment that we spiritually deserve. Because you see, the ability, the only way we can be with God is if we have zero sin. None of us qualify. So what Jesus did is, when he was on the cross, he literally took our punishment for that sin on himself. And when his body was broken, when his blood was spilled, that was the death that we all deserve. But when he rose again, all of us who believe that that's true, we have the right to, we get everlasting life. So if you're here, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to offer up a prayer here in just a moment. You're welcome to pray that along with me. It's in your heart between you and God. And then you're welcome to join us at the table because you believe in Jesus Christ. If you go to a different church, that's fine. If you believe in Jesus, you're welcome. But right now, this is a prayer for those who might not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So would you all bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, for all in the sound of my voice, Lord, we just ask now that your Holy Spirit, as he is present and active among us, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, would you just have your Holy Spirit prompt them? And so right now, my friends, if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just pray this prayer along with me. Just pray it quietly in your heart. You don't need to say it out loud. Just pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. I know I can't get to heaven on my own. So, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose again so I could be with you. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, if you've prayed that prayer, two things. One, join us at the table. The elements, the bread and the juice will come by. You'll see how to join us. And if that's you, if you prayed that prayer, I'll be here after the service. Love to pray with you. Love to hear your story. Love to just answer any questions you might have. But for now, for the rest of us, as we gather at the table, I'm going to give us one moment of silence, because part of what we're supposed to do as well is just to search our hearts. If there's anything that's ungodly in our lives, we just want to confess that before the Lord and let it go, because Jesus paid the price for it. We don't have to carry around guilt and shame. We can be at peace because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So would you just give us a moment of quiet, musical play, just do business with God. If there's anything in your heart that you need to let go of, any sins, any guilt, any shame, just ask him to take that away. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, we read this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My friends, the word that we hang on, the word that we cling to is He will. It's not a matter of if He will or He might. If we confess our sins, He will remove them from us. Our guilt is gone, the ledger is clean. And we can stand before Him as His dearly loved sons and daughters. So this morning, please join us as we remember.
I was lost, I was in chains. The world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone. I was covered in shame when He came for me. I couldn't run, from His presence. I couldn't run, from His out of the dark and into the light when He called my name. I couldn't run, from His presence. I couldn't run, from His arms. I couldn't run, from His presence.
Beloved in the Lord, take, eat, remember and believe that the body of Jesus was broken so our sins are forgiven.
Couldn't run, from His presence. I couldn't run, from His arms. I couldn't run, from His presence. I couldn't run, from His arms.
Beloved in the Lord, take, drink, remember and believe that Jesus' blood was spilled so our sins are forgiven. Join me in prayer. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the new life that we can have through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for the peace that you give us with God our Father in heaven. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for the missions that you've called us to. So Father, as we have our peace with you, as we have our encouragement from one another and the fire within from worshiping your name, Lord, send us from this place full of your Holy Spirit to accomplish the missions you've called us to be your witness. Pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, my friends, I have said that worship is our fuel for missions. Would it be all right if we spend one more time and have one more song just to fuel our hearts a little bit more? Would that be okay? Is our God worth one more song?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Two or three? They can go all day. I'm good with that, but no. Would you please stand and join us as we worship how great and awesome our God is?
Amen. Let's go in his peace, leaning on his everlasting arm. Amen. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. From all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms.
God is good.
All right, go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything that I can pray with you about or for you about, if you have any questions, I'll be right up here. I'd love to chat with you. In the meantime, go in God's peace. We hope to see you tonight at Lakeside Baptist, 6 o'clock. Go in peace.